Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in on the day after the Jaguars' 36-26 victory over the Buffalo Bills. Cole Pepper here, Jaguar Central, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. How did Buffalo treat you?
I loved it. Thought it was a great day. It was beautiful.
And with the general manager, I'll go ahead and say it, with the general manager of the first place Jacksonville Jaguars, you take it when you get a little bit of a smile. Starting to creep across. Gene, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be 3-2, and certainly when you look at our division, all four teams have a winning record, so it's a great challenge.
We need to look at that division. We need to do that tonight. That's a good thought.
And we will. And I guess the other thing is, if you're an optimist, if you see the glasses half full, you're the first place team. If you're a pessimist, you're a last place team, right? Either way,
well,
three
good,
and two.
You know, that's a good thought too, because I think from the Jaguars' standpoint, they see 3-2 and tie with the other three teams as very good. From the Colts' standpoint, I think they see it as not very bad, but they see it as disappointing.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk a little about that as we go on. Let's talk about yesterday's game, though. Certainly, as things started, I think to fall down by 10 and have some adversity and then to come back, I don't know if you would necessarily want to have that, but to see a team that overcame some of that adversity to win certainly was a real positive.
It was a real positive. It was kind of a gut check game. Anytime you go on the road like that and you play a very inspired football team trying to get a win, you know, things went back and forth, especially early in the football game, and then I think in the second half, we found some rhythm, and we took care of business.
And in maybe in some way, it seems the last couple of games you've kind of settled in that maybe you know, finding yourself may be too profound a statement for a football team, but in some way you kind of settled into the style, I think, that seems to make the most sense.
I think so. I think it's important to know who you are, and I believe that, you know, running the football is a big part of who we are, and I think Dirk understands that. And then I think the utilization of personnel, I think you saw yesterday a number of things that we have, especially offensively, that can be difficult to defend for an imposing defense.
It nonetheless is a game. Clearly, the Jaguars were leaps and bounds better than the Bills, especially if you were there. And you
it looked
could,
that way on TV, too.
And you could get a feel from talking to the people who cover the Bills. If you could get a feel from the fans, you could just sense that there was a lower expectation from them. And when the Jaguars got down early, at no time did I think that the Bills were going to run away and hide. Now, I was concerned that the Jaguars could find themselves in one of those, you know, two-minute warning jobs where someone's got to make a play late in the game to win the game. But when you kept the glasses on the two lines and you saw the way the Jaguars were kicking butt up front, I'm throwing people around, and Aaron Kampman driving two blockers back into the quarterback, and frankly, David Garrard should not have been sacked yesterday. Both sacks are on him, a safety blitz and a drift out of bounds for a six-yard loss on one that he could have thrown away to avoid the sack. This is becoming the identity of this team as I see it. This team's identity is that it week in and week out wins up front. It won up front against Denver, won up front against Indianapolis. I don't know that you could say that it won up front against either Philadelphia or San Diego. But I don't know that it didn't either. I mean, you know, those games were so lopsided in the skill positions. It's hard to make any claims. But this team is winning up front. It's winning with Kampman. It's winning with Monroe and Britton. And that was so evident yesterday. First of all, Buffalo is making that transition to the 3-4, and they don't have the players to do that. And they don't have the linebackers to do that. They don't have the ends to do that. You know, Kyle Williams may not be the kind of nose guy you need for that either. So they've got I don't think we should spend too much time on, you know, patting the Jaguars on the back for yesterday. I think we need to look ahead because there's something big, big, big on the horizon.
Yeah, in a week from tonight, of course. Gene, do you agree with Vic on that in terms of the the style and winning up front? That's sort of the stamp that this team's putting on the season?
Well, I hope that's the stamp we put on the season. I think yesterday it was evident that there were some individual matchups within the D-line position group and the offensive line position group that we won. And, I do think that that's where it all starts. And hopefully, as we move on to the second game of the second quarter of our season, it'll be a plus and something we can talk about, in another week.
It's certainly an area that you focused on in terms of the last couple of years. I mean, this is, what you had to address. You talked about Evan Britton and Eugene Monroe. You talked about bringing in Justin Smiley in the offseason on the offensive line. You talked about the defensive side of the ball with Campman as a free agent and Knighton and Alualu. I mean, these are areas that you targeted, I think, when you first became the general manager and said, all right, that's got to get stronger there.
Well, I think that's the foundation of your team. I think just like when you're building a home, you got to have a good foundation, and then you build the rest of the structure from there. And I feel like, we're doing some good things up front. And the Tennessee Titans, without question, will be our greatest challenge in terms of the physicality that they'll present coming into this game Monday night.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on this one. The Colts thing was nice, but, the Colts are just, they're cream puffs. And it's a one man gang, it's you against Peyton Manning, it's Peyton Manning against the world, that sort of thing. You win everywhere else. They really don't challenge you. They don't challenge your manhood. This team coming here Monday, they're going to challenge your manhood. Mm-hmm. They're going to draw a line in the sand, and they're going to challenge you to cross it. And so we're going to find out. And this is what's so important to me, because this team, over the last 2 years that Gene has reconstructed this team, and Gene, you have done an absolutely marvelous job of turning this roster over. This team is kicking butt. I mean, they are winning up front. Again, they are winning up front. And if you win up front, you're not going to get too far away from winning the game on the scoreboard. This coming Monday, we're going to find out if they can win up front against a team that always wins up front.
Right, we'll talk a little bit more about the Titans a little bit later on. Your feeling at this point, 3-2, are you in position? Are you where? You'd love to be 5-0, clearly, but are you in position about where? Do you like the position of the team here 5 weeks in?
I do. You always like to have a winning record, and we've had some tough challenges here early, but I think the challenges that we've had early will be a silver lining to how our season progresses here.
All right, we'll take time out here. Remind you that the 16th annual Junior Roar production for girls ages 6 to 17 will have camp days on November 6th, 13th, and 20th from 2 to 5 p.m. They'll perform during the halftime show on November 21st. Registration details, Friday, October 15th, and details can be found on Jaguars.com. If you want to interact with the general manager, you can go to facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars and just put in your question there. Best questions will be read on the air. We'll get to some of those. More thoughts from Vic as well and from general manager Gene Smith as we continue on. This is Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Three tight ends, I formation. Second and goal inside the one. Gerard's going to hand the ball. No, he's going to roll right. He's looking for Mercedes Lewis, and Lewis has it. That's a touchdown.
One of two touchdowns for Mercedes Lewis yesterday as he becomes the Jaguars' single-season touchdown record holder for tight ends. 5 weeks into the season, already setting records. And I think well on his way to a Pro Bowl season the way he's going. Jaguars Flex Packs now available. Select any three of the remaining home games to build your own three-game mini-season ticket. Flex Pack seats start at just $45 per game. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to create your own Flex Pack today. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. The real scare yesterday was with Maurice Drew. Went down on the field, right hand or wrist, something, and making some noise about it, too, and goes to the sideline. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's back in there. The way that people were responding to him, the way that people around him were reacting, the way he was carrying the thing, I thought, oh, geez, this might be one of those season enders. But apparently not enough kryptonite for Maurice Jones-Drew.
Well, he's a violent runner, and I think people know what kind of toughness he has. He's competitive as any player we have on our team. And when you see him go down, you know it's got to be something painful, because he rarely does. He's the one giving, not receiving in most cases.
It was, Jack Del Rio said today in his press conference, didn't look like it was anything serious, which was, well, just again amazing considering the shot we had there. You were about to make a point, I think, on Mercedes Lewis.
I have a question for Gene.
Go for it. Yeah.
You're not going to let Mercedes Lewis get away, are you?
Well, I'd like to see him finish his career here. He's what we're looking for in terms of the type of person on and off the field, and certainly the player that we need at that position.
Yeah, I'm curious. There's potentially a lockout. Let's just put it this way. There's a lot of uncertainty about next year. There's a lot of uncertainty about is there going to be a CBA? Is there going to be a lockout? What's the deal going to be? So how does that pertain to the use of, for instance, the franchise tag? I mean, can you use it? I think like February 19th is usually like the first day, right in around here, the first day that you can put the tags on. What will be the case this February? Will there be a tag day, for transition and franchise tags?
Well, that'll work itself out in time. The big thing about the CBA and the state of the league right now, the questions have to be directed towards Wayne Weaver and certainly our commissioner. That's not something that Jack or I really have the liberty to discuss.
So. If there's no progress, if it just stays the way it is, everything is frozen. Is that fair to expect that everybody and everything is frozen?
Well, there's a level of unknown, and like I said, I can't get into the details. Mm-hmm. Certainly we all hope that we're playing games, but we got to get some things worked out, and I'm confident. Between the two extremes, mm-hmm. there's good judgment and common sense applied, and I'd like to think that there will be.
All right, let's take some of these questions from the listeners on Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, here's one from Brett. Is Mike Sims-Walker on the trading block? There were reports from Chris Mortensen hinting that perhaps that would be the case. So what about it?
No. We've got four receivers on a roster, and the truth of the matter is I have not talked with any team in the NFL. Certainly, I'll always listen to any team that calls us, but I don't know how some of those things get started, but that one has no substance to it.
Yeah, in fact, Jack Del Rio used the term garbage today to refer to the report. And I don't want to besmirch Chris Mortensen, who usually does a very good job on this, but I think what happens, Mort put out a tweet or something about, hey, this could happen, after reading, and then it kind of – three or four people interpreted it and raised the level of it. This was after Walker had some comments about, he was asked about having games where he had no catches and wins versus catches and losses. And so that, anyway, that's where we are.
Mike's comments last week were all over the board.
Yeah.
I mean, he caused a lot of that himself, in my opinion.
Well, the only credit that any one of us should want is winning. I mean, this is the ultimate team sport, and, from my perspective, there's a lot of different ways to win. But, again, it's a team sport, and the bottom line in this business, especially at this level, is winning, and it's not necessarily how you win, okay, who makes the plays, it's if you win. And so that's my mindset.
One of the things that kind of bothers me about the contemporary National Football League is we hear all the time about these players on different teams talking to each other. Hey, there's a non-fraternization code in this league. you know, these guys feel very, very comfortable. Well, I talked to Brandon Marshall, and Ray Lewis is texting Ben Roethlisberger. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, I think the commissioner needs to remind these guys about the non-fraternization code in this league.
Well, does it have to be modernized, considering, I mean, you take something from the 60s and try to apply it today with the technology that exists today? You know, what do you do with that?
Well, I think you make a valid point. It is a different league today from a technology standpoint. I mean, all the way down to the coach-to-quarterback device, instant replay. So I think any time, you know,
in-game blogs, for instance.
Yeah, once the technology advances to the point where you can improve the game and improve communications of the game, the marketing of the game, I think the league is very open-minded to it.
What I'm trying to say is one player on one team says something to another player on another team who then says it to a media member who then puts it on the World Wide Web. You know, what's in the locker room stays in the locker room, right?
You would like to think so, yes.
That's an unrealistic expectation, considering the state of media.
No, I don't think it's an unrealistic expectation.
Considering the state of media today, it absolutely is. There's guys tweeting that coverage constantly on the NFL. You got NFL Net. You got a whole network associated with the thing. ESPN. I think it's unrealistic to think.
Well, on my football team, somebody would be making a walk up the hallway.
I think you can do that. But I think it's unrealistic.
Yeah,
to
I can do that.
That
I'm the coach.
Yeah, you'll also have like nine guys that you'll be fielding on Sundays. You know, unfortunately,
No. You always find 53 guys who want a paycheck.
Now we'll see how your team performs when Sunday comes around. Some more comments from facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Are there any potential players you're looking to trade for before the deadline? How about the chance looking at Dwayne Jarrett, who was just cut by the Panthers?
Well, we feel good with where we're at with the roster at this point. I always, do state that we will listen to anything from any other team because we, I think, do a good job of networking with other teams and finding out what their interests may be. And obviously they have questions at times about our roster. But right now I feel with where we're at with our receiver group, in our tight end group, and our running back group, we've got a good group of skill on offense.
You can occasionally find some guys out there. I mean, you found Trent Edwards on the waiver wire. As the year goes on, though, and more teams have injuries and they're less likely to get rid of guys who have been in their system, the longer it lasts, the tougher it is to find somebody who can come in to help you, isn't it?
Yes. Typically when you start the season, you know, you get to a point, like after the first quarter of the season, where you're not necessarily going to get a guy off the street or off somebody else's practice squad or obviously your own practice squad that's going to come in here and upgrade your roster. You hope you can replace a player with someone at least equal to, and that's a difficult task. The only case where you can typically upgrade may be like, a situation where a guy with 32 starts is released for whatever reason, and you put in a claim and you're fortunate enough to acquire that player. That doesn't happen very often, but there are cases where a team will move a player, and you may have a chance to acquire the player, but again, those are few and far between.
Who played best in your secondary yesterday?
Well, I thought Derek Cox, when he came in, he did some very good things against Lee Evans. And Lee Evans is an elite speed receiver. Derek ran stride for stride with him and had an opportunity for an interception. Lee did a nice job himself of becoming a defensive back in that play. But, you know, Derek came up and run support, did a good job there, and I was very happy for him because he looked like he was having some fun out there. And, I just thought overall there was a lot of energy on defense. I know Jack would tell you and the defensive staff, again, that they could do a number of things better. And from an energy standpoint, though, you'd rather have to pull guys back than get them going. And this is a group we don't have to get going.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about – I had the three Ds coming in today I want to talk about. Derek Cox is one of them. Mm-hmm. We've got Don Carey and Daisy Kareem, the other two Ds I want to get to as well. Talk about the Titans as well. And Suddenly, there are no undefeated teams in the National Football League. We'll get Gene's take on that. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealer. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton, right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
David takes the snap and drops back. Pocket collapses, turns and throws. He's got a man. Touchdown, Jacksonville. He got Mike Sims-Walker, and the Jaguars regain the lead.
One of the Jaguars' three touchdown passes from yesterday's 36-26 victory. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you get $2 in Jagbucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. A couple of interesting numbers that came out of yesterday's ball game. We mentioned Mercedes Lewis became the all-time touchdown receiver as far as tight ends in a season for the Jaguars. He has 12 career receiving touchdowns. And I realize the Jaguars, you know, you're talking about 16 seasons, but 12 career receiving touchdowns, the seventh most in franchise history. I figure he'll be working his way up that number the rest of this year. Josh Scobie tied a team record with 5 field goals. He had done it before. It had been accomplished 4 previous times, including by himself. And 216 yards rushing on 40 carries. That's a season high for the Jaguars, including 70 from Deji Kareem. And that takes me to the next D that I wanted to talk about and get your thoughts on. Deji Kareem, who we saw in the preseason, looked terrific on some kick returns. Vic and I had a chance to watch him quite a bit during training camp, and you definitely saw good things from him, real acceleration. And boy, what a debut, though, for a guy who was a sixth-round pick.
Well, I was very happy for him because he had to fight through some things to get back with that thumb injury. And the last couple weeks, he looked like he was having a lot of fun out there running the ball on the scout team. He's 210 pounds. And, you know, in college he averaged just over 7 yards a carry. And he's a guy that's not always easy to find. You know, he gets into the pile and he pops out of it, a lot like Maurice Jones-Drew does. Now, this guy has instant acceleration. I mean, he's one of the fastest guys we have on our team, and he's a little bit of a glider with you know, again, excellent stop and go quickness in the hole. And, you know, he showed what he's capable of, running the football, and then on the kickoff returns, he took the preseason and brought it to the regular season.
Rashad Jennings had the shoulder, didn't play. But when he's healthy, how do you have enough balls to go around all three of those running backs?
Well, it's a good problem to have. I mean, you know, I'd like to just put enough tools in the box, and you know, Dirk and the offensive staff can utilize as many of them as possible in each game plan. A lot of it has to do with, you know, the team we're going to play, how we want to attack it, and then certainly on some of the guys who have more backup roles on our football team, special teams comes into play. So we're counting on him to give us some juice in the return game, and then if he can, you know, earn himself a role in our offensive game plan, hopefully we'll see more of what he did yesterday.
And then the last D that I had talked to, we talked Derek Cox, Deji Kareem, and then Don Carey, who wound up playing quite a bit of safety yesterday.
Yeah, Don did a good job. Really, again, the last couple weeks, the coaching staff has done a really good job of trying to get another player we like onto the field. And so he transitioned from corner. He's played some nickel, and, you know, he's playing free safety. And I'll tell you, too, on special teams, he shows up. And Don, being a year away from football, I think he's really starting to mature now in the live game situation. So I'm very happy for him as well.
All right, we have some comments coming in here as well from Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. How would you grade the three? Steve wants to know, how do you grade the three interior offensive linemen so far?
I think it's been a plus because it's been very consistent. You know, some people may tell you Uche's played the best. Some may say Brad, and some may say Justin Smiley. And I'll tell you what, yesterday the snaps that Vince Manoway gave us, he did a good job. So I know there's a big question mark at the end of the year on the interior offensive line. I know we got a lot of games yet to play, but it actually has been one of the big pluses on our offense. And certainly allows David to step into his throws.
How about the two tackles? They play well yesterday?
They did a good job, both of them. We had them in single situations pretty much the entire day. And I just thought the whole offensive line unit did some good things. And so I was very encouraged coming out of that game. And I know, again, Tennessee will be a very aggressive front and one that we're very familiar with. And so I know our offensive and defensive line will embrace the challenge of this game Monday night. And that's one of the things I think the fans ought to really hone in on is the battles in the trenches. Because there'll be a number of them Monday night that dictate the outcome of the game.
What did you see of Tennessee from the tape of their game against Dallas yesterday?
Very disruptive. I mean, they play with an attitude, especially on defense. I mean, certainly they want to run the ball, and then they want to put the quarterback under duress. And I think they have just a complete team. I mean, they really do. It'll be a great challenge for us. But again, I think our players are up to the challenge. I mean, if you want to be the best, you got to go into games with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. And you never want to be arrogant. You want to approach everything you do with some humility. But you got to get to a point where you're expecting to win, not hoping to win. And I think your mental will as a football team enables you to have that kind of a mentality. And Tennessee, under Jeff Fisher, has done a tremendous job lining up against us every year. And this will be another great matchup.
Vince Young, maybe as have as many different opinions on him around the league. He made a couple of throws yesterday that I saw in that Dallas game, just terrific throws, and he – You get the other end of it. He's a terrific athlete in terms of, you know, he runs well. He's mobile. The whole thing. Is he advancing? Is he pretty much the same guy we've seen the last couple of years?
Well, he's got tremendous skills. I think with any quarterback, you want to move him off the spot because if a quarterback doesn't have the opportunity to set his feet to throw, they're not going to be as accurate. And so I think one of the things we've done this year, we may not have gotten the quarterback down as much as we would like, even though our numbers are up. But we have done a very good job as a defensive line of moving the quarterback off the spot. And I think that enables us on defense to create some errant throws and hopefully some interceptions along the way.
All right, more with the general manager here in just a bit. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. And Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutta, right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Maurice in motion, wide to the left. David drops to throw, has time, no pressure coming, steps, turns, throws. He's got Mercedes at the five, and the big man spins and reaches for the end zone. Touchdown!
The touchdown for Mercedes Lewis, one of two yesterday in the Jaguars' 36-26 victory. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter. When the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket sub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Does that mean we only have one day to get the free barbecue sandwich next week on a Monday night win? We'll have to check into that, see what the fine print looks like. For that Monday night game, 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game, you can check out Teal Town. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers. Admission free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. And that should be quite a scene on Monday night, I would think. I know they were under 5,000 tickets remaining, I think, as of this morning. So see how the ticket sales go, but... I'm looking forward to it. We haven't had a Monday night game here in quite a while, Gene, and the Thursday night game last year was a great atmosphere, but I think considering everything that's happening right now, this should be quite a scene on Monday night.
I think so, especially after the Colt victory, just to experience the live game atmosphere. I'll tell you this. I mean, I study a lot of film in my office, and you know, you can certainly see the player perform, but like going to live games on Friday night and Saturday, you can feel the game. And I think the passionate football fan wants to feel the game. And I really believe Monday night they'll be able to feel, you know, the game, and hopefully it'll be a tremendous experience for them.
Where were you Friday night?
UConn and Rutgers.
How many general managers were in that press box?
Two.
Who's the other one? Who was the other one? Just curious. I can't imagine there's another one that would actually... He must be from New York.
Rick Spielman from Minnesota.
I'm impressed.
How many GMs get out and scout anymore? I mean, does every team have their guy out there working as another scout, or is it generally administration position?
Well, I'll always be a scout. I think if I get away from doing that, I'll be doing a disservice to the organization.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Terry McDonough and the college scouting staff and even our pro staff, I mean, I have some tremendous people that I work with, and you have to be smart enough to know that you're not a one-man show. Obviously, I have to do other things now, and I have to be able to delegate, but I don't want to ever get away from being a doer when it comes to player personnel. And, you know, one of the guys that I see out there typically a lot is Bill Polian. Now, I have not bumped into him this year yet, but I probably will a couple times. But, you know, I try to get out to games as much as I can and get a live look on certain positions.
Colts starting to get old?
I think, are they...
They're showing some age spots.
Well, I think every team at some point goes through some transition, and I think when you look at him, it's certainly not at the quarterback spot. I mean, he might be getting older, but he's still playing well.
Who in the division should we be most concerned about? Pardon my poor grammar. Indianapolis because they still have a quarterback who tilts the field, or Houston because they look like they're on the rise, or Tennessee because they can just hold you down and kick your head in?
Well, I've never heard it put that way.
Excuse my violence.
Vic just brought violence to the program.
Typically, to win at a high level, you certainly got to have a couple things. You got to have a quarterback playing at a very high level, or a defense playing at a very high level. Or it's good to have both, for sure. But, you know, the thing about football is you can win a lot of different ways. I tell people, you know, there's a lot of different ways to drive to Tampa. There's certainly a lot of ways to win football games. So I look at football as being the ultimate team sport, like I said earlier, and it takes good players who play great together to win championships. And I feel like if you keep putting good football players on your team, at some point you'll have a chance to win it all.
Do you think you have a chance to win this division?
Yes.
All right, right now, you look at the standings. You mentioned everybody in the AFC South 3-2. But you look at the league standings, top to bottom, nobody is undefeated. It's, I think, the earliest in quite a while that there's been no undefeated team, that everybody has at least one loss. You got a bunch of teams in that 3-2, 4-1, 3-1, 2-2. I mean, everybody's bunched up. What does that tell you about the league, and what is this going to mean, you know, down the last 11 weeks of the season, 12 weeks of the season?
Well, I think it's exactly what the NFL wants. They want competitive balance. And it's very important that you stay healthy. And knock on wood now, we've been able to stay healthy. I know Justin Durant is still out. But for the most part, if you're healthy and you get hot late in the year, if you're fortunate enough to be one of the teams in the playoffs, you can ascend. And I hope that we're capable of doing that. I mean, I told Vic, you know, I feel like we have a chance certainly to win our division, but a lot of things have to happen. I'd like to think within our division, you know, this is a time for us to step forward. and continue to make progress. And I feel really good about the group of players that we have. I mean, I feel like, you know, they are in it to win it, and that's what it takes to compete at the highest level.
You win, in my opinion, if you win on Monday, you're on your way. I think this game is huge. I'm not one to say that a lot. I'll say it. I'll say it a couple times a year. I think we knew that the Indianapolis game was huge for the obvious reason that you couldn't go to 1-3, and especially you couldn't suffer another lopsided defeat. It would have eaten away at everything that had been built during the offseason. So, yes, it was huge. But this one coming up here, now this is a program changer. And I'm not talking just about the record and the division title chase and how it pertains to the football team. I'm talking about how it pertains to the future of professional football in Jacksonville. I am fully expecting this stadium on next Monday to be completely full. And I'm not just talking about the general bowl seats, because I'm getting tired of this just fill the general bowl seats thing. I'm talking about fill this stadium. We haven't had a sellout here since 2007. Forget the blackout crap. I'm talking about selling out the stadium. This is a game on Monday night that should sell this place out. This is a community event. This isn't just a football game, Monday. This is an event. And it should sell this place out. And this team, if it does, I have no doubt in my mind that this team, this young team, which is high energy, will respond in kind.
Well, and I think the stadium you're talking about, they're looking for the teal Monday. Everybody wear teal to the game and really make it, as you mentioned, a community event, which is, it's interesting, that Colts game became that.
Well, you know, see, it did.
It became that based on what happened on the field.
It was a start. It was a start, Cole. But if I see 63,000 tickets distributed next Monday, that's going to be a disappointment for me. That's not good enough. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I was going to mention is that became a community event more so than just another Jaguars game, based on what happened on the field. This one, now you can ride that wave. I think you can get out there.
Absolutely.
Based on what happened what's happened here the last couple of weeks and the direction that things are going.
After what this team gave this town against Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, there's no reason why Monday night shouldn't be sold out.
There you go, Vic Ketchman's challenge to you. Buy some tickets. Gene, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you. Actually, no show next week because of the Monday night game. We'll hear from you on pregame. But 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be back here with Jaguars Monday. And who knows where we'll be at that point.
Well, again, Tennessee is 2-0 this year on the road. So I know they're going to come in here ready to roll. But I feel confident our players will match, again, their physicality.
Should be fun. We look forward to it. Vic, thanks a lot. For Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth. The Jack Del Rio Show tomorrow. Jaguars this week on Wednesday. Good night from Jaguar Central.